GAA on Off the Ball.
Now, welcome back to studio. So it's All Ireland final week again, we're delighted to say. And Kerry's Mark O'Shea is in studio. He was out today helping to launch Air Sport's new season of action. They're going to have live Saturday night Allianz League action. They're also the home of the Rugby World Cup in Ireland and the only place to watch all 48 games. Mark O'Shea, you're very welcome to studio.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for coming in. Mike Quirk tweeted about you when you retired. Mark O'Shea was Picasso trapped as a house painter. Cornerbacks were never supposed to be so talented. What a career. That was a nice one.
Jeez, yeah.
Nice, did you get nice, nice messages when you called it a day?
I did, yeah. It was nice. That's a nice message. I did. I got nice messages, but it's nice to be spoken of like that, you know, but it's just you look back in your career and I was lucky to have such a long career. No injuries, thankfully, and to play with great players and play against great players. You know, on morning eight, I was in the car with Alan Brogan and we used to mark each other. We used to have great crack and the memories. It's the memories more than anything. You know, we, as I say, great days out in Croke Park, big wins, heavy defeats. But do you know what? At the end of the day, you come away with great memories and great friends.
What's your main memory of Mark and Alan Brogan?
Then we played the Dubs one day and they were beating us at half time. Now, it was at the time when Kerry were beating Dublin. Dublin hadn't taken over just yet. And Malie broke out, and Brogan and myself got into an argument. We were marking each other, old college buddies from Maynooth. And he had kicked two scores off me in the first half. And he was quick to let me know anyway at halftime when we were going off the field. Never forget him for that. But we always had great banter.
Yeah. Eamon Fitzmaurice, when you retired, said, while Mark has now taken a well-deserved sabbatical from Kerry at the moment, I can see him back in a management capacity in the near future. Is that something you want to get into?
Yeah, I think so, yeah, because when I retired with Kerry, I was player, joint manager with Conall O'Cruillíoch with the club, and I really enjoyed that for two seasons. We gained promotion from intermediate to senior. We went as far as an All-Ireland intermediate semi-final and really enjoyed that. And I was offered a good few club jobs last year, but I just wanted to kind of get back into the Kerry Academy, Kerry Underage, Kerry Developments. So I was in charge of the Kerry Under-15s, Kerry North, so really enjoyed that this year. We just finished up, actually, went from April until September, and working with the young fellas in the county in Kerry Centre of Excellence every Saturday morning. It's very enjoyable. And to watch the talent that's coming up from such a young age, under 15s, and you know, the future is bright, and just to be able to give something back. And it's great to go in there on a Saturday morning and see the likes of, be it Paul Galvin or Aidan O'Mahony or Mike Frank Russell or Liam Hassett and all these lads who played, and they're putting it back into the young lads. So it's great to see that. And it's something that I enjoy, you know. It's a bit of time off from the football as well. You know, you're not stuck with a club Tuesday, Thursday, or and a weekend. But you know, maybe now is the time again to kind of look at that and give something a go, because it's something that would definitely, it'd be a big challenge. But I think the right job would have to come up, you know, or something that would interest me and challenge me, and you know, I'd look forward to something like that.
Would you like to pitch in at county level straight away?
Yeah, it'd definitely be something that I'd be interested in. But again, as I say, the right number would have to come up for me to be interested. But it's something back in my head like that I want to do, definitely.
The Dublin job.
I think they're doing okay there, Joe.
That's great to hear the likes of Mike Frank and Paul Galvin are turning up at the Kerry Academy on, do you even call it an academy?
The development squads.
Development squad on a Saturday. So they're turning up and putting
time back. They are. And, you know, to have players of the calibre, and, you know, it's not even about them, or it's everyone that goes in there on a Saturday morning that shows up. And look, it's not just happening in Kerry, it's happening all over the country now. Mm-hmm. We see the development squads in all the provinces, and it's great, and it's something that we never had when we were growing up. It was starting round about when I took off, but it was only maybe a weekend away with Kerry under 16s or something like that. But now to have the young lads get into the environment where they're playing with the best players in the county, it brings them on, and if they can get experience in that, and then wearing the jersey, and you know, we played a few games this year against different counties, and it was a very enjoyable experience for the young fellas.
Would you as a player have counted yourself as a tactical thinker about the game? Would you have sat and watched and analysed tactics, or were you more of a I just feel it, and instinctively, I don't overthink it in that regard, because the game has gone so tactical, obviously, in the last 15 years.
Yeah, it has. From my point of view, tactics certainly came into it. Where I was playing, it was just kind of trying to nullify my opponent and keep him quiet, and in the full back line particularly, and I'd watch videos upon videos of who I'd be marking and you know, the way they played, the way they turned when they got the ball, what legs they kicked with, were they good over their head? And something very interesting that I'd always keep an eye on is how they played in the previous game. So if we were playing Galway on maybe a Sunday, I'd be watching if they played Mayo the previous 2 weeks, how did this corner forward get on? And if they played poorly, I'd be getting worried, because I'd say this guy he's going to come out and show. Because I often think that good players don't play bad twice. So, but certainly from that point of view, I'd watch videos and I'd watch patterns of play, but tactics is something that definitely I'd be into, and you know, because I think, you know, whilst Mick O'Dwyer, our former Kerry manager, used to always kind of focus on his team and his style of play, and I think there's a lot to be said for that too, because then, you know, it's up to the opposition to come out, but you have to look at the opposition. You have to kind of, I mean, you're telling me that Peter Keane isn't looking at Stephen Cluxon or Brian Fenton or Conor Callaghan or
Peter Keane's just happy to be here and have a grand old day up in Dublin, and sure, we'll come home and have a nice day, and that's it.
Yeah, he paints a good picture at that, he's done well. He's done very well. He's come in, and at the start of the year, if you said the needy areas for Kerry were the goalkeeper, the full back line, the midfield. In the drawn match, they were our strongest line. So I think that he's done very well. Last year, you know, there was no Tommy Walsh, no Jack Sherwood, no Jonathan Lyne. All of a sudden, these lads are having a huge impact on Kerry's season. So to get these fellas back playing and having such an influence when they come off the bench, it's you know, he's done very well.
Yeah, he's a serious customer underneath it all. Very interesting that you're sitting there in a dark room watching the fella you're going to mark on a given day. Did it help? Were there certain moments in the game where, because of watching the video footage on a Wednesday, you knew he was going to spin onto his right foot and try and take a snapshot straight away, and you managed to get a block in? And were there moments in the pitch where you thought
he'd go the other way?
Well, no, but the moments where you thought that worked, I'd seen that yeah, paid off. Did you have those moments?
Definitely helped, yeah, because and even if it was watching maybe the Sunday game highlights or something, and you know, something like that, and as years went on, we had it on the phone, and you'd have the app, and you could go in and watch the videos of the opponents, and they could narrow it down to the player you were marking and all of that, and so from that point of view, it was great. But it certainly helped. Yeah. There's no doubt, and I'd be a big believer in video analysis. I think that players should be just allowed to do it at their own time. You know, just to go into it. Obviously, video analysis is so important as a group, because you know the team need to see what's happening, and you need to have a plan. Collectively, sure, going out in the field, but certainly I think video analysis is something that you can do with the group and also on your own. You have to do your homework.
Five All-Irelands, Player of the Year in 2007. In light of Johnny Cooper having a tough day the last day against Clifford, I wanted to ask you about 2002. Mm-hmm. You know, so your career is just so brilliant, and you can basically talk about anything because you've done it all. 2002, your first final.
Tough day out.
So you understand what that's like on a big day.
Yeah.
You had been, by all accounts, doing very well in training, marking Colm Cooper.
Yeah.
And then it turned out Dermot Marsden is a very different proposition. Tell us about the build-up, how you felt you were going and training against Gooch. I think you'd had a good day against Johnny Crowley as well.
Yeah.
And then how the final unfolded itself and what the hell all of that is like. So training, first of all, you're going well against Gooch, are you?
Yeah, well, like, I suppose the big thing about the 2002 campaign, and it's mad when you think back in it, because you see now the way strength and conditioning has gone and the way players are so developed. They're like rugby players now. And I think back in 2002, when I lined out in the final, I was only 11 stone. And you fast forward that, say, let's just say 10 years later, the 2011 final, and I'm 13 stone. I'm already 2 stone heavier. So, you know, you go out and you're marking Gooch in training, and I think Gooch at the time was only 10 and a half stone. So, you know, it's mad stuff when you think about it.
You were like a minor team.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. So, like, I mean, had I been marking the likes of Johnny Crowley more often, you know, it probably would have conditioned me better for the final.
And did it occur to you when you were going into the final, geez, Marsden's actually very different to Gooch, or did it suddenly hit you on the pitch?
It suddenly hit me on the pitch, really, because, you know, I was young, maybe a bit naive. But that said, the same day, Mike McCarthy was on Stephen McDonnell. He conceded 3 points to Stevie. I conceded 3 points to Dermot Marsden. Seamus Moynihan conceded 3 points to Clark. Like, it was just a bad day for the full back line. We conceded 9 points as a full back line, so it was a lot. And but the one thing I always remember from that, I remember we went in at half time 4 points up, and I was in at half time and I was doing okay, but, you know, I think he'd kicked 2 points, but still not happy. But that said, thinking 4 points, we're doing well here, we've a great chance, and ultimately lose the game. And then 2 years later, going in at half time against Mayo, 8 points up, and then saying, geez, we have to keep going here, we have to drive on. So for me, you know, it nearly took me to lose one to having to win one, you know, because I learned a harsh lesson that you have to keep going no matter what. And I remember when we came out in the second half against Mayo, we just kept going until the final whistle, and I suppose I had a bit of experience, you know.
That's a fairly devastating thing in 0-2, I'm sure, walking off young player first final. Bit of a clean out by the standards you would set for yourself, and as back to the drawing board territory almost.
Yeah, it was a tough year. It was, I suppose, it was the year that we buried our dad as well. So it was tough from that regard in June. And you know, just Dara was captain, and it would be lovely if he had lifted Sam. But look, yeah, it wasn't to be for some reason. Things happen for a reason. Things don't happen for a reason. You get on with it, and you know. But it would have been lovely for Dara to lift the Sam. But look, Armagh's first win ever. It was amazing for them. To see their supporters and
serious team as well.
But you couldn't begrudge them, you know. No. They came out in the second half and they really went after it. And I think the goal was the big changing point in that game, you know, when they got the goal and they had the momentum, and a lot of what ifs, but you know, you just get on with it.
Well, look, 5-0 Ireland's in the end, it worked out okay. That's a very difficult thing to continue. I hadn't realised that about your father, that it was that year for you to carry on and think about football and put your best foot forward. That's a hell of a cloud over the family.
Yeah, but look, it happens to a lot of families, you know, and you get on with it. We played at the Munster final on the Sunday, and he passed away on the Tuesday, and we buried him on the Thursday, and then we played Cork in the replay on the Saturday. So it was a fairly mad week, you know. But look,
were your legs empty on the Saturday?
They were empty on the Saturday. But you know what? It's football. Kind of it was football that kind of got us through it. You know,
What do you mean?
Like you'd keep going. You know, it's your friends around you that were playing football with you that would kind of keep an eye on you, and you know, as brothers, we were tight as well. So and we had our uncle as well, who was manager at the time. So it was tough, but at the same time you had great friends around you, and you know, it was a time where you realised the friends that you had, you know.
What's the dynamics with the brothers? Who's the butt of the jokes?
I'd say I'm the butt of the jokes. I'm the youngest, but always the youngest. And when we were playing growing up, the youngest, I was the fella, the go-to fella who they'd beat the crap out of and send them in. And
you had to go on goals, I'd say.
I had to go on goals. My eldest brother, Fergal, he was. It was usually myself and Fergal against Darren Thomas, and we had great crack in the back gardens. And when you hit a window or hit a shoot, we just ran for cover and into the bushes, hiding in case my dad came out. But there was always great crack, and we used to have great games in the back garden. Yeah,
it's a way of getting your 10,000 hours in, isn't it? I mean, that's a hell of an environment to grow up in.
It is, yeah. And like, even when the games were on, just, you know, you'd be in the back garden, and we'd be fighting to see who'd be Mikey Sheehy, or who'd be Pat Spillane, or who'd be Jack O'Shea, or who'd be Paddy, and all of this, and or who'd be Kerry, like, you know. And it was great crack, and we really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm sure. To follow on the Cooper Clifford theme then, so we divert to 2002 and get your memories of that. If you're Johnny Cooper and you have that mindset as a defender, and I know you can't speak for him, would your instinct as a player to be to go to the manager, or if Jim Gavin came to you, or if Paddy had come to you and said, look, it didn't go great, do you want another crack at him, or do you think we match you up differently? Now, Jim Gavin may not come and ask Johnny Cooper that, I appreciate, and may take the decision out of his hands, but as a defender, were there certain lads that you would have looked at and recognised, they don't suit me? and you know, maybe a Sean O'Shea suits me better, or someone else suits me better. Yeah. Like, can you talk to us about that whole area?
Yeah, you know, it was something that I always kind of kept an eye on. There were certain players that might suit you, but if a manager came to you and said, you're on this guy, it would nearly be a sign of weakness if you said, no, I'm suited better to this guy.
Did you ever do that? Did you ever say, don't fancy him?
No, never did that. Just went along with it, and whatever I was told to do, I did it. You know, the managers were there to manage, we were there to play, and you'd never question a manager. You know, you'd have too much respect for them, you know, and it was, we just went about our business, and I just, you know, it's like anything, you do your homework then, and I always found as a defender, the first few balls, if you could beat your man out to the first few balls, it just kind of planted a seed of doubt in their head, like, this fella means business, you know. But it wasn't always the case. You could be marking the likes of Bernard Brogan, and you could have him quiet for 67, 68 minutes, and all of a sudden he could get the winner in the game. I remember playing a National League game against him, and we were, I think it was level going down the stretch in Croke Park, and next thing he gets the ball and he just kicks the winner off his left, you know. And it's so you mark certain players, and they might be quiet for 60 minutes, and they just have that ability to get a score when they need to. And certain players had that ability, you know. So it's, you were never, you had to be concentrating all the time. You were never off duty, you know.
How do you think Cooper and Clifford match up? Do you think Cooper's off him now? Because Fitzsimons went on him then afterwards and seemed to fare a touch better.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe sometimes you might be marking someone and you might be just playing them wrong. You might be playing them from behind, you might be playing them from the front. Maybe, excuse me, I think maybe he needs to, if he probably changed up his tack, like that ball that we keep seeing replayed where he's pulling his hand, maybe if he was playing him from the front, you know, because Clifford isn't going to kill you for pace, but like, you know, if you're out in front of him and the ball is kicked over the top, you have the chance of maybe getting back. So I don't know. It's an interesting it's an interesting one. Fitzsimons certainly did better when he went back on him.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, Cooper's a serious player, and you know, he obviously got sent off, but I think that he's going to be massive for them in the replay. Mm. You know,
Clifford's tall as well. Like, he can catch it over your head. I mean, look.
Yeah, he's very tall.
He's not easy. All the hype for a long time has kind of been justified. He's a serious prospect.
He is. Look, he kicked 4-4 in the minor final.
I was at that one, and I thought, yeah, my God, yeah.
Obviously, minors and seniors, a different ball game, but like, to kick 4-4. Now, the last day he went out and missed two in the first half, then missed one in the second half, kicked 2 points from play, had a few frees, won the penalty, and his man gets sent off, and we still think he only played fair. So like, I think there's a huge game in him. We need him to perform for Kerry to win, but look, we need a lot of things to happen. A lot of it went right the last day, but I think a lot more needs to go right, Joe.
Like, it was such an enthralling game. Like, it was brilliant, you know, and geez, the last 15 minutes of just constant tension was incredible as well. It depends who you're listening to, and it'd be great to get your interpretation. Like, on the one hand, Dublin were 5 points up with 15 men, you know. But then the flip side is, people will say, well, look, if Kerry had took their goals, you know, that wasn't a 5 point gap. And then the response to that is, well, sure, Dublin, that's what they do to teams, you know.
Yeah.
And then the other thing which jumped out at me was, I didn't expect Kerry physically to be able to match Dublin so well. I don't, you know, kind of underestimated these young players and where they were in their development. I thought everyone kept saying they're a few years away. So where are you? Have they missed their chance? How important was the missing man? Physically, can they match Dublin and go at them again in the same way? And, you know, Dublin are going to learn a lot about Kerry as well here. So Dublin may change up things dramatically. So that's a very broad question for you. They're all the things which are juggling around this game.
I think that Kerry, a lot of things went right for Kerry. A lot of Dublin players underperformed.
Do you think Kerry made them underperform, or do you think it might have been a slight off?
I think so. I think there was a lot of, like, say, David Moran was outstanding.
Yes.
Jack Barry didn't allow Brian Fenton to breathe. There was times in the game where David Moran was on him as well, and he was just keeping a close eye on him. Kilkenny was quiet. Mannion was quiet. Con O'Callaghan was quiet. I'm a firm believer, though, that good players don't play too quite games in a row. I think that they'll come back, and it was Jack McCaffrey the last day, it was Cluxon the last day, it might be two different guys the next day. Kerry will have to have a plan to get back for it. I agree with everything you said. I think that, you know, Kerry didn't allow them to play, but that said, you know, Kerry did miss a good few chances. The Ganey penalty, Ganey had a chance where McCarthy stopped it on the line. You had the Stephen O'Brien possibility, was it a penalty? So there's a lot of chances there that Kerry could have taken, but again they were down to 14, and in the last few minutes you would have thought that it was Dublin that it was Kerry that had the 14 players. Such was the work rate of the Dublin team, and that's what they bring. They bring serious work rate. But look, a lot of these Kerry players are playing in their first All-Ireland final. That's gone now, you know. So I think that'll stand the likes of the Cliffords, the Sean O'Shea's, even though it didn't seem to faze those lads. But it'll stand them. It'll, you know. So I think that it's all to play for. Cluxon, as I say, was outstanding. Shane Ryan was very good. Kerry went out to beat Dublin. They took him on at their own game. They pressed high up. They pushed the players up. We've seen the analysis on how, you know, Kerry were cheating off the full forward line, pushing out. But, you know, Dublin were doing the same thing. There was one stage Cluxon was on Tommy Walsh. Yeah. So Dublin were doing the same thing. So the two teams were really going for it. And that's great to see. Like, and that's why we're all going away from the game saying it was fantastic. Mm. There was loads of mistakes, but it was a fantastic game. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll see more of the same the next day. If, you know, a lot of things, I said it all week, a lot of things have to go right for Kerry to win. I think Kerry need to be playing 90% plus to win. Dublin could nearly be playing 70-75% to win. But I think everything has to go right for Kerry. If it does, and if we take those chances that we missed, I give ourselves a great chance.
Mm. What's your analysis of the closing 8, 9, 10 minutes, the 7 minutes of out of time, and then the few minutes before that? Did Kerry just say, let's try and hang on? Did they run out of steam in some way? Or?
I don't think so. I think that, you know, in years past, like when we were playing Dublin, you know, where they had you was, you'd match them for 65 minutes, they'd empty the bench, and the fellas coming off the bench were having a huge impact. You look at Kerry, and this is why I give Peter Keane massive credit. Tommy Walsh is coming off the bench. He actually ended up playing, I'd say, close to 30 minutes, because he came on in the 50th and there was 79 minutes the game. So he had a huge impact. Killian Spillane kicked the goal in the pint. Jack Sherwood came on, he had a big impact. So all the subs that came on, they're now, like, you know, you look at the subs that came on. Well, McMenamin worked really hard. Connolly, I think you'll see the likes of Connolly coming on earlier. I don't think he's going to start them. We've all seen that that programme during the round of Connolly picked at seven, which is
fake news, apparently.
Fake news, and we see the latest one of Tommy Walsh playing at full-back for Kerry, so it's mad stuff. But I think that now where Kerry have gone up a gear or two is that the subs that they're introducing are having as much of an impact, if not more, than the dubs. Now, the turnovers is something that Kerry are going to have to look at going down the stretch. Five turnovers, that's where Dublin really came of age, you know, and that, you know, Kerry can't afford to do that. I think if we had cut down on those, and David Moran, who was, with the exception of Jack McCaffrey and Cluxon, man of the match, he was outstanding. You know, he even had a turnover towards the end where Dublin got the ball and went down the field. So, but that said, when they did come down the field, there was this just solid unit at the back, as there was for Dublin on the other side. So, you know, it's a game of chess, and I think it's going to go right down to the wire again.
Do you? Because my final thing was going to say, do you don't think a 5, 6, 7 point margin is what we're looking at here? You think this is going to be this is a real on a knife edge kind of situation?
Yeah, look, I was in the drawn match. I was going up in the car and I was looking at the two teams and the way the papers do the analysis on the age profile and the heights and the weight and all of that. And I was looking at Dublin. They were like 25, the team itself, and the subs 31, 32, and Kerry were coming in at 21, 22, a few lads 26. And David Moore, obviously the oldest. But the big thing for me is that, you know, these lads, they're, when you're 21, 22, there's no fear, you're just going for it. And, you know, in previous years, as I said, when we were going down the stretch in 2013, it was one of the best games, they said, since 1977, semi-final, Kerry Dublin. And, you know, we were really close to Dublin that day. The game could have gone either way. And then towards the end, they gave Dublin win by 7 points, but it wasn't a kind of a fair reflection of how the game went. Now, the last day, Dublin were up 5 points. It was Kerry who came back. So I just think that these lads are showing no fear. Mm. They're going for it. And you know what? With a bit of luck, the last day, they would have got over the line. I think, again, the next, I think there's huge belief within the camp. And I think that counts for a lot. And once these fellas have that belief, which I think they have, that'll really stand to them.
Yeah, well, hopefully it lives up to expectation. I'd say actually in the county, to wrap up, there's probably an extra bit of, oh, maybe some people didn't realise how close this was. Because by all accounts, in the build-up to the first game, there weren't flags everywhere. There wasn't maybe the same hype. I'd say now that's been turned up a little bit the last couple of weeks. Have you noticed that?
It's all we talk about in Kerry is football. They're even changing mass times to half 4 and 5 o'clock. So it's great. We're excited about the replay, and we're really going to go for it. Hopefully, and these young lads, we've seen what they've been able to produce. There was times where we were chatting about Declan O'Sullivan and Gooch, and now the talk is Sean O'Shea and Clifford. And it's new times. These lads, they've won minors, but now they're coming of age. Yeah. And hopefully now there's one big game on Saturday.
Yeah, it should be good. Listen, thanks so much for coming in. It's great to have you in. That's Kerry's Mark O'Shea. He was launching Air Sports' new season of action today. They've got live Saturday night Allianz League action, their home of the Rugby World Cup, all 48 games live. Mark, cheers. Enjoy Saturday. Thanks a mil.
Cheers. GAA on Off the Ball.